This is Tim Roy, the voice of your seven-time NBA champion, Golden State Warriors. If it's Bay Area action you seek, we're talking about it. From the South Bay to the North Bay and everywhere in between, we have you covered. Now, get ready for Bay Area Sports Wrap with Lowell Tuckerman, Marco Akalovich, and Ryan Leon.
The 49ers win a game but lose a quarterback, and the Raiders keep their slim playoff hopes alive. Alongside Marco Akalovich and Ryan Leong, I'm Lowell Tuckerman. This is Bay Area Sports Wrap. It was a Week 13 for the books for the 49ers and Raiders. Both teams get much-needed home wins. The 49ers 33-17 over the Miami Dolphins, and the Raiders get an exciting 27-20 win over the visiting Los Angeles Chargers. Starting with the 49ers, the win wasn't the biggest story, gentlemen. Jimmy Garoppolo, broken foot, out for the rest of the regular season. And it's not just the story of the game. You could argue it's the story of the NFL. So no better place than to begin with that. Ryan, you and Marco both were covering the game at Levi's Stadium. You talked to the players in the locker room. You talked to Coach Shanahan as well after the game. How much is the Jimmy Garoppolo injury putting a complete damper on this win for the 49ers as they move to 8-4, but they lose their starting quarterback?
I'd say quite a bit, although, you know, that Brock Purdy proved that, you know, he's definitely not Mr. Irrelevant, even though he was the last pick in the 2022 NFL draft. Purdy had very solid numbers. In fact, prior to Purdy, and Mr. Irrelevant had never even thrown a forward pass. So obviously he did more than that, and he threw his first ever two touchdowns, and no Mr. Irrelevant had ever done that, of course. 25 of 37, 210 yards, and two touchdowns, one interception. A very solid game for him. He got great production from Christian McCaffrey. He had 66 yards rushing, 80 yards receiving. A solid game offensively throughout, and a very good game defensively as well. Now, of course, a team lives and dies by its quarterback, so not having Jimmy Garoppolo is huge because the offense, you know, he really does help make that offense go. That being said, you know, Purdy's going to be your guy for the rest of the regular season, and you don't know if Jimmy G is going to be healthy enough to make it back for the playoffs. That is good news, though, that, of course, that there's that possibility. But, you know, I don't know about you, Marco. What do you think? It's going to be kind of a dicey situation, I think, for the 49ers.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you look at the way Jimmy G's been playing this year. He's been the catalyst for that offense. And the fact that he goes down in that first series was, you know, a huge blow. And you know, talking to the players in the locker room after the game, it was a bittersweet moment for them. You know, they were happy they won their fifth game in a row. But to lose their leader and Jimmy Garoppolo, they were devastated by that. You know, heartbroken was a big word that they were using a lot. And it just goes to show you, you know, how much Jimmy G's meant to this team and how what a rapport he's had with all his players and teammates, excuse me. So the fact that he went down, but the thing is, but the way this Niners team has dealt with adversity. So this isn't their first time they've dealt with adversity. They, you know, Trey Lance goes down after game two, and now Jimmy G goes down after week 13. So this is the type of team that they can even rally even more and get closer than before. And that's what I asked those guys afterwards. I said, can this be something that you guys can bring even closer? And they all agreed yes. And let's not forget that, you know, this defense is why they won the game. Tagovailoa was not playing well in that game. He was having a lot of overthrows, but the defense finally got to him in that second half. Nick Bosa, three sacks. I don't know what more I can say about this guy, that if he's not Defensive Player of the Year, that they just need to get rid of the award, because the guy now leads the entire league with 14 and a half sacks in the entire league. In what, 13 games or 12 games? This is insane that this guy's been able to do this, and he's been hurt this year. So, you know, Fred Warner had an interception. Jimmy Ward had an interception. Drake Greenlaw recovers a fumble, goes for a touchdown. So the defense is what sealed the deal in that fourth quarter, and they're going to continue to rely on that the rest of the season. And because of that is why they can make a deep playoff run.
Marco, I might have an unpopular opinion on this, so just bear with me. So when I look at the play where Jimmy Garoppolo got injured, I couldn't help but get flashbacks to 2016 when Derek Carr was in a similar situation. He's the quarterback of a team on its way to the playoffs late in the season. And you're taking a sack and you fight for a needless two or three more yards to get back from the sack. And you end up with a season-ending injury. And here's Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know it's one of those heat-of-the-moment plays. I get it. But you have to hope quarterbacks of playoff teams late in the season will have that moment of self-awareness. But it just didn't come. And Jimmy was fighting for yards, quite frankly, he shouldn't have been fighting for. And should have made sure to fall in a way where he didn't get injured and allowing the two Dolphins players to really mess up his foot. And of course, now the 49ers are in this mess where they're going to have to rely on a rookie quarterback, Mr. Irrelevant, as Ryan was saying, to see what they can get out of this season that we were initially thinking could be a Super Bowl run. So I'm sorry to say it, but some of this is on Jimmy.
Well, here's the thing. Again, at the time of the injury, no one knew how serious it was because he was able to walk off the field limping and gingerly. And it wasn't until we saw him getting carted off, going back to the locker room, that we knew that this was pretty bad. Now, the good news, as kind of stated earlier, is that this is a foot injury. It's multiple fractures in his foot. But there is no Lisfranc. There's no structural damage to any ligaments. So this is the type of injury to where when you just have a break, broken bone, yeah, it's going to take a good 6 to 7 weeks to heal, and then, you're on the mend. It's an easier rehab. So, but with that said, this is still a devastating injury just because, he was the backup this year, right, going into the season. And the fact that he was having such a great season for them, especially offensively, and then adding Christian McCaffrey at the deadline and getting another offensive weapon for him just made Jimmy G that much better. And so I don't want to say that, both injuries, you can't really compare the two. And in both instances, you got quarterbacks, to me, are some of the most competitive people out there in professional sports. You can never tell a quarterback that, well, you probably should have went down that situation, or maybe if you just, did this or did that. No. Guys like Derek Carr and Jimmy G, they're going to do what they can and try to get everything they can and squeeze every inch out of every play. And Garoppolo, look, there was a blitz that just was not picked up, especially in that first drive. He was getting blitzed a lot. Shanahan should have called some different plays. I thought the play calling could have been better on that first drive. But as far as him, having should have gone down sooner, maybe should have thrown the ball away, that's all hindsight 2020. If you asked Garoppolo, he probably would tell you that, he would have did the same thing again. So I just think that when you have competitive players like those guys like Carr and Garoppolo, you can't fault them for what they should have done, because they're competitors and that's the way they're going to play the game for 60 minutes.
I think the same thing too. And when you look back at that Carr injury, Carr's was different. I think Carr, that was just, he got sacked and then his leg broke. I think with the Garoppolo, it was totally different. Garoppolo's injury to me was very similar to the injury he suffered when he was lost for the season by stretching out one extra yard when he should have run out of bounds or basically stopped himself from going any further. I think Garoppolo in that situation too, a little bit different this time because he did have two guys after him. So I think it's a lot easier for us to be armchair quarterbacks talking about a guy getting injured when if we were out there in the field, we'd be running for our lives too. So, it's just a tough moment for the Niners. What's really interesting, though, is you think about it, each one of the backup quarterbacks did not play with the regular team until they started all of a sudden being thrust into the action, because Brock Purdy, he'd been playing, just practicing with all the other assistant coaches, I believe. He wasn't even doing any kind of practicing at all with the main guys on the roster. And now he's the number one guy, just like Garoppolo was. Garoppolo was doing that in the offseason. He was almost like having his own little practice sessions by himself because the team was going and doing other things without him. So the fact that the Niners are this good with the quarterbacks being, I guess basically you could say, somewhat unprepared is really quite a miracle.
Well, Brock Purdy was thrown into the fire against the Dolphins and handled himself well. He gets right back at it in his first NFL start. The 49ers will take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday, kickoff 1:25 at Levi's Stadium. So moving on to the Las Vegas Raiders. They get an exciting victory over the Los Angeles Chargers, 27-20. Gentlemen, that was one of the worst first quarters I've seen the Raiders play. But from the second quarter on, they really started to click and really played up to the potential and the level that the Raiders should be playing. Josh Jacobs, 26 carries, 144 yards, and a touchdown run. And how about Davante Adams? At this point, Marco, you have to wonder if Davante Adams is a bargain for that contract he got. 8 receptions, 177 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Raiders 27-20 over the Chargers to keep their playoff hopes alive. In what Josh McDaniels called their best performance of the season in all three phases, the Raiders were able to split the season series with the Chargers, and they'll travel to Los Angeles to take on the Rams, the Chargers' LA counterparts, on Thursday Night Football in a game that is very winnable for the Raiders. So, Marco, if the Raiders get the win on Thursday Night Football, they're 6-7. That puts them a game and a half out of the final playoff spot. It almost feels like deja vu, having done the same thing last year, winning games down the stretch to make it in. As crazy as it is to say, Marco, you can't count the Raiders out yet.
No, you can't. And this year, they're not dealing with all the drama that happened last year in the route to their 10-7 season where they made the playoffs and finished as the fifth seed in the AFC. This year, they got off to, you know, a rocky start. I mean, I can't even think of an adjective to describe, you know, where you blow 3 17-point leads and then end up losing to teams like the Colts and the Jaguars and basically those teams you're supposed to win if you want to have playoff aspirations. But I don't know what changed between that loss against Indianapolis, but all of a sudden they just seemed like a different team. You know, they had 2 overtime back-to-back victories versus Denver and Seattle. And then, like you said earlier, this was a complete game, the first complete game they've played all season long against the LA Chargers in this 27-20 victory. You had all phases kind of working well in cohesive unit. You had the offense that, yeah, they got off to a slow start and it looked like it was going to be a struggle for them. But then, yeah, the second quarter happens, and Derek Carr all of a sudden starts finding Davante Adams wide open down the field. They do a little trickery with the flea flicker, and they get that second touchdown. And again, what can I say about Josh Jacobs? I mean, this guy should be in MVP consideration with the season he's having, leading the entire NFL in rushing right now. And, you know, Davante Adams, to me, he's been as advertised. I think everyone, well, at least I thought that he was going to have this kind of a season with Derek Carr. And again, 8 receptions, 177 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, no one can cover this guy. And it doesn't matter what team he's on, who's the quarterback throwing to him. He's just that good. And Josh Jacobs, you know, this is a contract year for him, and he knows that, and I believe that, you know, the performance he's been having this season is definitely going to get rewarded. And if not by the Raiders, then there's going to be at least 10 other teams that'll throw him big money based on what he's doing this season, and especially the way how he finishes. So, yes, the Raiders, if they win this, and it's a very, very winnable game against the LA Rams, who have just, you know, you could say they sold their soul for that Super Bowl, and they're paying the price this year with what everything that's happened to them. Cooper Kupp going down, Matthew Stafford going down. They lost a lot of key guys under defense. Jalen Ramsey has not been the cornerback that, you know, everyone thought he was going to be. And now they have Baker Mayfield. They just signed him. So, you know, they're struggling in all facets. They have no running game. You know, Allen Robinson, a big free agent signing, he's out for the year now. So they have really no right receivers to throw to. So, you know, and again, their defense has not been great. So this is definitely a winnable game for the Las Vegas Raiders to go 6-7 and keep that slim, you know, playoff hope alive, because, you know, that's all they can do right now is just take it one day, one game at a time. And again, this is this type of game where, you know, yes, it's 3 days rest. There's really no practice time, but again, they're going to play a team that's really has been in disarray and has been chaotic down there, down in SoFi in Inglewood the whole entire season. So, you know, I really think that the Raiders, you know, they're definitely not going to, you know, overlook this game at all. But this is definitely a game where they should come out on top and have a good performance. And then I just got to credit the defense, too, shutting down Justin Herbert in that, pretty much in that second half, and not letting them, you know, get back in the game. So if this defense can play like the way they did this past Sunday against L.A. And then throw that into the Ram game and then the following week after that, then, yeah, you can see this team has a chance, as slim and remote as it is right now, that they could possibly get in. Now, they're going to need some help from teams like the Jets to go on a losing streak and what have you, but anything's possible in the NFL. And, you know, there's still a few weeks more left in the season to where they could put a run together. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm looking forward to it.
Ryan, where do you even begin when it comes to trying to figure out this Raiders team? If you look at the week one matchup, the Raiders and Chargers, the Raiders couldn't sniff Justin Herbert. And this past Sunday, they sacked him 5 times. And it was just a complete flip from the previous matchup. The Raiders, of course, have now won 3 in a row, looking to make it 4 in a row against the Los Angeles Rams. What do you attribute the turnaround to? This is a completely different football team than the team that lost to the Indianapolis Colts last month.
I think they're just becoming more cohesive now as a unit, and they're playing better defensively, first of all. I mean, if you're only giving up 20 points, as we've talked about in previous weeks, I always think if you're a team that can hold anybody under 30, and especially 20 or under, I think you're doing quite well. And I think that's a good recipe for success in football, and that's what the Raiders did against the Chargers. By holding, you know, a guy like Justin Herbert, who's certainly one of the best up-and-coming quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, even though he had the offensive numbers, as you mentioned, I mean, to sack a guy 5 times, even though he passes for 335 yards, you know, and a touchdown with no interceptions, I mean, 5 sacks is 5 sacks. So you got to give the Raiders credit, defense credit for that one.
Once again, the Raiders will travel to Los Angeles to take on the Rams on Thursday Night Football. And the 49ers will host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday at Levi's Stadium. For Marco Ukalovich and Ryan Leong, I'm Lowell Tuckerman. We'll be back next week to recap the Week 14 action for the 49ers and Raiders.